السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters listening in at the madrasa over the receivers, I know it was an extremely short notice for this program, but the reason for that was that there was no real intention of having a majlis tonight. But looking at the great desire in the hearts of some friends, it indeed gives me great pleasure that the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is dominant in their hearts, and they are desirous of listening to something about the Quran and the Sunnah, and to make islah of the nafs, because these majlises are for islah of the nafs. So looking at their good intention, they decided to have this majlis. Whoever gets the message, inshallah, will benefit. We were discussing one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sometime before Ramadan. We discussed certain parts of that hadith sharif, and inshallah tonight we will discuss the other part. وعن أبي كوشة الأنماري رضي الله تعالى عن أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ثلاث أقسم عليهن وأحدثكم حديثا فاحفظوا فأما الذي أقسم عليهن فإنه ما نقص مال عبد من صدقه ولا ظلم عبد مظلمة صبر عليها إلا زاده الله بها عزا ولا فتح عبد باب مسألة إلا فتح الله عليه باب فقر. Now this is the part which we have already, I think, discussed, or some parts of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there are three things on which I take qasam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Abu Kamsha Anmari radiallahu ta'ala an, that three things I take qasam on. Now whose qasam is this? The qasam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was no need for him to take any kind of qasam. Who could have been more truthful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? But to show how authentic it is and how much of emphasis he is placing on it, so he says, I can take qasam on it. Because what do you take qasam for? To convince the person that it is the truth. Now in his case, there was no need for it. But to lay great emphasis that what he is saying is the truth and nothing but the truth, our yaqeen must be so solid that mountains can move from their places, oceans can dry up. But these words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he has mentioned something, they will be proven to be true. There will be no question of any kind of shortcoming or weakness in his statement. No one can prove it as a lie. Na'uzu billah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that what are those three things on which I take qasam? I said we have already discussed this. One is that when the person, I'm just giving you the gist of it, that when a person gives sadaqah, then it does not reduce his wealth. The giving of sadaqah does not bring about a reduction in the person's wealth. No matter how much our calculators show that a reduction has come in the wealth, and no matter how much our gaze and our sight sees that there is a reduction in the wealth, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, by various means, either increases that same wealth or protects that wealth from a loss. Now that is also a way of increase. That if a person had 100,000 and the 100,000 got stolen, so that's a decrease. But if the 100,000 Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected it because this person gave 5,000 sadaqah from there, so that shows that 95,000 that remain, it is an increase compared to what he would have lost altogether. Now we don't know these doings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have absolutely no knowledge of what is happening, how it is happening, why it is happening. Sometimes after ages a person seems to find some kind of wisdom in what happened. Then he says, yeah, whatever happened to me, I know there was great wisdom of Allah Ta'ala in it. Why this happened or why that happened. So whether we understand the wisdom or not, we have to understand one thing, and that is that Allah Ta'ala is our creator, He is our Khaliq, He is our Malik, He is the master. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He will decide for us what is best for us. It is our duty to do that which is pleasing to Him and stay away from that which is displeasing to Him. That much we have to do. We have to fulfill our part of the contract. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He will decide for us what is best for us. Sometimes poverty is best for that person, because if he gets plenty of richness, he may end up becoming the friend of shaitan, and sometimes he may even lose his iman and namazes are lost. Indulges in israf and so many other things. And sometimes richness is good for that person, because if he becomes poverty stricken, then he may go for those hampers and he may lose his iman. People of other faith will come and tempt him. So Allah Ta'ala knows best. Sometimes health is good for the person, there's great benefit in it, and therefore we have been asked to ask for health. And sometimes sickness is good for the person. ND381476 movie of that. Sometimes sickness is good for that person. Sometimes weakness is good for that person, and sometimes strength is good for that person. But because we are living in a world of means, then we must do everything that is right. We must not do purposely things which are wrong, and after that blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes qasam on this, that the person's wealth will not decrease if he gives sadaqah. There are so many hadiths, so many Quranic verses, but we're not going into that. I discussed some part of it. We want to get a little further. Zakat also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that wealth which is lost on the sea or on a land, it is generally on account of the zakat not being given on that wealth. That is the mafhum of that hadith. That when people don't pay their zakat properly, then they suffer losses. Therefore I always say that whenever there is a loss, first thing, check zakat. Sometimes a person changes his life. Along the line he changed his life. 2 years ago he changed his life. A year ago he changed his life. All his life he never paid zakat. Now that he changed his life, so he started paying zakat from that year. But what about all the zakat that is not paid? So sometimes it's a flushing, detoxifying. How is it detoxify the body? So like that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes away some wealth, causes some loss, and detoxifies the person. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows best. Now we must do that, as I said, which is His command. We must fulfill. Then leave the decision to Him. Major problem in our life is that we make the decisions for Allah Ta'ala. That is why we suffer internally, inside our hearts, that restlessness that comes is because we make the decision for Allah Ta'ala. That He should have done this. Allah Ta'ala should have done that. Now if we are going to make decision for Allah Ta'ala, then we should have rather claimed that we are Allah. How can we be making decisions for Him? We are believers in Allah Ta'ala. We believe that He is our creator, and He, in His hands lies control. He has given us a willpower. That is our duty. Make use of the willpower. Make use of the means that He has created. Otherwise there was no need for Allah Ta'ala to create any means. He should have said, well, relax, lie back and forget it. Everything will happen. So we have been given a willpower which we have to make use of. So the person's wealth, there will be no decrease inshallah if the person gives sadaqah. If he has given sadaqah, he's given his zakat, and then still there is a loss, there was a burglary, there was a robbery, there was theft, and he checked his zakat, he checked his sadaqah, everything is up to date, then he must believe very, very sincerely, deep-heartedly, that there was great goodness in it. Allah Ta'ala took away a little bit of wealth, but saved his life, saved his family's life. Who knows, he saved the person from how many other balas and difficulties and trials by taking away just a little bit of his wealth. Or Allah Ta'ala wants to give him something better in return after testing him for a little bit of sabr. We must always keep Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's example before us and his companions, that for the good and the bad, they must look into the Quran and the Sunnah. For those who are indulging in a lot of evil, a lot of haram, a lot of sins like us, then we must look at those ayats of the Quran Sharif where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about his punishment, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells us about the azab that comes when the person indulges in sins. So we should look at all that. And for those walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, those exceptions, those who are pious, righteous, fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then they must look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's suffering, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's calamities, difficulties, the trials that he went through, and then look at Makkah Mukarramah, where everything was taken away. Nothing was left. They had to leave behind their homes, they had to leave behind their businesses, they had to leave behind everything and make hijrat to Madinah Tayyibah. Now which sin did they commit that they had everything was taken away? No sin. But it was a little taking away, and then Allah Ta'ala put empires at their feet. Empires fell at their feet. So the wealth of the person does not decrease. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when a person, an injustice has been done to him, and he makes sabr over that injustice, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases his respect. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases his respect, his dignity, his honor. The person who has done injustice thinks that I have succeeded, that I have done great injustice. But he doesn't think he's done injustice. He thinks that he showed his strength. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he listens to the call and the voice and the deep-hearted sigh of the person upon whom zulm has been made. Therefore we have been warned that we must be very, very careful about the sigh, about the deep-hearted pain and the call of the person upon whom injustice has been done. There is no barrier between them and between Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Their dua reaches the arsh. And Allah Ta'ala says, I will definitely help you. Sooner or later, Allah Ta'ala will help that person. How he will help? Sometimes he will make that person who did the injustice become disgraced and humiliated in front of that person to whom the injustice was done. How many times it has happened, and we have seen with our eyes how tables have turned, that those very people upon whom injustice was done, they became the rulers. And those who did the injustice, they had to go and fold their hands and beg for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala took away kingdoms when injustices were done. We must not consider injustice as a kind of a sin and crime that Allah Ta'ala ignores. Unless that person upon whom injustice has been done, he forgives. So Allah Ta'ala sometimes does that. But his respect is increased. That in petty quarrels, trivial arguments, people want to take revenge. They want to show a point. They want to say that we also can do something about it. Now the person has a right. Shariat is very, very balanced. There's no extremism in Shariat. It's not that you have to forgive. If a person has done injustice, Shariat, if it had said that you must forgive, then we would have said that this Shariat of Islam is not fair. So Islam does not say that you must forgive. If anybody has done injustice, you have a right to demand your right. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran Sharif, they are guiding us towards that which is better than that, a higher stage than that. And that is that the person overlooks, he forgives. Now when he's going to overlook, forgive for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will increase his respect. Even the people will say that, look at that person, injustice was done to him and he forgave and he overlooked. Look at what a large-hearted person that person. What a magnanimous heart he has. How generous he is. How forgiving he is. So isn't that respect that Allah Ta'ala is giving? And on the other hand, over little things, if the person starts blowing his fuse and starts punching and kicking and booting, they say, look at that person. This man just sent one word and here this person has lost his head. So Allah Ta'ala will increase the respect. Now there are so many incidents in the Hadith Sharif also, but I'm not going into the details there. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if the person, وَلَا فَتَحَ عَبْدٌ بَابَ مَسْأَلَةٍ إِلَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بَابَ فَقْرٍ, that the person who opens for himself the door of begging, Allah Ta'ala will open for him the door of poverty. Whosoever will open the door of begging, then Allah Ta'ala will open the door of poverty for him. In other words, this person who is now begging without justification, if a person is really poor, he is desperately in need, food, light, water, and he is begging because there's nobody to assist him and help him, then he is entitled to it. Otherwise, who is going to accept our zakat? So the zakat and sadaqat and fitrah and all these things, there have to be some poor people. Here we are talking about those who have made it a profession. And not only must our mind go on those people who are very poor or those who are going door to door begging. There are many people whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with plentiful. They've got sufficiency. Allah Ta'ala has provided them plentiful. But it just becomes their nature that they just don't want to use that which Allah Ta'ala has given to them, and they are always begging, please assist me with this, please assist me with that. They will have plenty of savings also, but they will still be begging. So then Allah Ta'ala will open the door of poverty for them. That it will not stop anywhere. Their begging will continue. Or it will mean that this person will never have contentment, no matter how much he receives, but he will not have contentment. In Makkah Mukarrama, they moved most of those people who used to do begging around the Haram Sharif, because some of them were millionaires. Syndicates used to operate. They used to bring them into the Haram Sharif, one hand missing, one leg missing, and then they go around, somebody giving 100 riyal, 50 riyal, and some Arabs even give home bundles of notes, so they fill up their pocket, they go outside, empty it and come back again. Each namaz they go around, and they make millions, Hajj time and Ramadan time. So what the government did is they moved them out, and they gave them accommodation, and the moment somebody dies, immediately they seal off that home. Because they find hundreds of thousands of riyals there. So it shows that their eyes, the trench of their eyes was never filled, no matter how much they received. And they don't even have the time to use it, because all the time they are begging, nothing else but begging. And you will find them begging for food also. Even the pocket is full, but still they are begging for the food also. They will go to the stalls where they are selling the food and say, buy me a burger too. And yet the pocket is filled. So how true Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying is that when they are going to do that, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Allah Ta'ala will open the door of poverty. So a person must have satisfaction, qanaat, and beg of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As I say, outside this masjid there is a board there, no begging. Now that board is for outside, no begging. Don't beg outside there. But inside the masjid, come and beg. That board is for the outside. They don't stand around there and beg. But the masjid, you must come inside and beg of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the place for begging. So that's why we put the board outside there. Because just now if we put the board inside here, they'll say, Maulana said, mustn't beg. So how are we going to beg of Allah ta'ala? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if we are going to beg of Him, then He will open the doors. Why don't we put some kind of trust in Allah Ta'ala's treasures? His treasures are unlimited, and how He provides is very, very strange. We must beg of Him and trust in Him. Make use of our abilities to go and earn our livelihood. Then if there is a genuine need and the person is finding himself in a tight corner, there's no way that he can survive without asking, then the second step should be that after begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then seek a loan, interest-free loan, for genuine necessities of life, not for luxuries. There are many people who are begging for what? To pay the TV licenses.
Allah.
And that is the truth. they will be begging for. In the meantime, they want to pay TV license. Or they'll be sitting with such kind of things. So after begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then seek a loan from friends, from anybody that is prepared to give a loan. If the person can get a loan, then he must have every intention of repaying that loan. Then Allah ta'ala will again open the doors and the person's loan will be paid. If he cannot even get that, and now comes the time when the family himself, there's starvation or there will be ejection from the home, or there will be cutting off of the light and water and things like that. So now we will say that now he has reached the stage where it is permissible for this person to beg. In fact, such kind of people, it is our duty that we must search them out and make sure that they do not have to go and beg, because they don't have any intention of begging. They are forced by circumstances to go and beg. So now it is our duty to search for such people. Who are they that did not want to stretch their hands, but they were forced by circumstances. Nobody wanted to give them a loan. Then they don't have anything to, and now the family is suffering, so they are forced to ask some people for assistance. So that is permissible. But where it has become a profession, where begging has become a profession, and it has become a profession in all countries of the world, South Africa is no exception. So for such professional beggars, they are opening the doors of poverty for them, for themselves. Now we go on to what I really wanted to discuss. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the hadith which I want to relate to you, and remember it, learn it, memorize it, whatever you can say. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ, that dunya is for four kinds of people. Because dunya is not cursed, it is that which diverts the person's attention from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. That is dunya, and that is the cursed dunya. So dunya is required, we all need dunya. As Hazrat says that if a person, people keep saying, you know, dunya ko lat maro, dunya ko lat maro. But he says just now, if Allah Ta'ala takes away all that dunya from him, and he has no food to eat, then he won't even have the strength to lat mar. He won't even have the strength to kick. So if food was dunya, so then now he doesn't eat, so how is he going to kick the dunya? So dunya is that which diverts the person's attention from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ, for four types of people is dunya. عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَقِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَتَّقِي فِيهِ رَبَّهُ وَيَسِلُ رَحِمَهُ وَيَعْمَلُ لِلَّهِ فِيهِ بِحَقِّهِ فَهَذَا بِأَفْزَلِ الْمَنَازِلِ. Let's discuss this, this first part today. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that dunya is for four kinds of people. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives that person rizq. Allah ta'ala gives him maal. Allah ta'ala gives him maal. He gives him wealth. Now that's the first category. Four people doesn't mean four, it means the four categories of people. The first category is those people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses with wealth. He has given them sufficient wealth. They have gold, silver, dollars, pounds, they have property, they have home, they have cars, whatever they have. But together with that wealth, Allah ta'ala has also given them ilm. With that wealth, Allah ta'ala has also given them the ilm. Now why is this ilm so important? Because if the person does not have the ilm, then he will have the wealth, but he will not have the knowledge of how to use that wealth. So that will distance him from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that wealth will become cursed wealth. Because if he has got wealth, so now he must know the masail of zakat. He must know the masail of fitrah. He must know the masail of qurbani. Now all these, then so many other responsibilities and obligations and duties fall upon him, which are not farz, which are not mentioned in the Quran as farz, but it is an obligation upon him. The taking care of poor, the needy, the orphans, the widows, the family members, assistants, all so many other responsibilities come with that wealth. So the person has to have the knowledge of deen and sharia, how to earn that wealth. That is the first thing. That if he has wealth, then it must have come through some sources. So now to know exactly whether that source through which it has come, whether it was halal or not. Now how is he going to know that until he doesn't have the ilm? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the first category is that person whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with wealth and he has also given him the ilm and the knowledge. So it shows what a great thing this ilm-e-deen is. Because you must have ilm-e-deen to be able to understand all this masail. فَهُوَ يَتَّقِي فِيهِ رَبَّهِ. This wealth which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given him, he fears Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with regards to this wealth. That means this wealth does not get into his head. He does not become arrogant because of his wealth. He does not look down upon the poor and needy because of his wealth. He does not talk to people suffering from a superiority complex because of his wealth. Because this wealth has got also an intoxication. Just as wine, brandy, alcohol intoxicates. In the same way we can see throughout the world how people of wealth have become intoxicated. And in their intoxication, then they do injustice. They make zulm upon others. Why? Because they've got power of wealth. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that they fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to that wealth. That means they are conscious of the fact that it is Allah ta'ala who has given me this wealth and I am accountable. So therefore in my actions, in my deeds, in my akhlaq, in my dealings, in everything, I have to fear my Allah. That I must not do anything that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has given the person rizq, he has given him wealth and he has given him ilm. And because of this ilm that he has, otherwise there would have been no taqwa, there would have been no fear of Allah Ta'ala. But it is because of this ilm that he has that it became a means of that fear of Allah Ta'ala also. This ilm, if he doesn't have that, then Allah Ta'ala is watching, Allah Ta'ala is seeing, he is hearing, he knows. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, Allah Ta'ala's greatness, Allah Ta'ala's glory, and all these things, if he doesn't have that knowledge, and if he doesn't have the knowledge of Sharia, then he is not going to have any kind of fear of Allah Ta'ala. The disbelievers, they indulge in everything. Why? Because there's no ilm and there's no taqwa. So this person now, in this wealth that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given him, he fears Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And on account of this ilm and on account of this fear or taqwa, what he does is وَيَسَلُ رَحِمَهُ وَيَعْمَلُ لِلَّهِ فِيهِ بِحَقِّهِ. That from that wealth now he gives to his family members, to his kith and kin, to those who are related to him. And he also fulfills the rights of that wealth. Whatever is the right of that wealth, he fulfills. That means all those places that he is obliged to spend, he spends. But specifically the thing that is mentioned is relatives and family members. That is the first thing that is mentioned there. Whereas it is covered. If this person is going to fulfill the rights of that wealth, he's going to fear Allah Ta'ala, everything is in its place. Now it is covered. This family member is already covered there. But specific mention is made even in this and even in that khutbah ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Again, إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. So it is covered, but still specific mention is made because that is where all the problem starts. That people, I have mentioned this many times, they will give hundreds of thousands in foreign countries for assistance to the needy and the poor. Or they will give for their friends, they will give them plentiful. They will spend everything for their friends. But when it comes to their own father, mother, sisters, brothers, family members, then if they are suffering, then they will say, it's not my duty. What about my brother? What about my other sister? She's supposed to also make khidmat. What about my uncles? They're supposed to take care of. Now that is how we will talk. There we are not going to see that what are the benefits and advantages and the virtues of spending on those people who are close to us. In fact, we will get double the reward. But because most of the times the family members, they don't give us wah-wah. They don't give us any kind of congratulation. In fact, when the person, if he has given something to that family member, then that family member may respond by saying that what kamal he made in giving me that. Allah Ta'ala has given him so much, from there he gave that little bit, mein kya dad mar di usne. So that's the kind of comments the person gets. And because of that, this person doesn't want to spend on that family members. Because he says that I didn't get any kind of appreciation for what I did. That is the bottom line. What do we say? That I didn't get any kind of appreciation from that family member when I assisted him. And that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants us to understand. That we must not wait for appreciation from that family member. We must look at what our duty is. That if our sister, our brother, our uncle, our father, our mother, they are suffering, then whose duty is that? Why should we throw that duty onto somebody else? To whatever extent we can be of benefit to them, we must go out of our way and believe what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that if a person wants long life and he wants an increase in his sustenance, then he must be good to his family members. Even if they do not behave in the manner that is befitting, they pass adverse comments, they criticize, or they don't show appreciation, whatever they may do, we must not worry about all that. We must worry about what is our duty. And this is why there are so much of quarrels, arguments between family members, because everybody seems to say, I did so much for that person and he didn't show appreciation. I did so much and these were his comments. But that is what we must condition our minds beforehand. If we condition ourselves beforehand, that this is what we must expect. Now if that person doesn't say anything like that and shows appreciation, then we will also appreciate. But if we have conditioned our minds beforehand that I'm going to give this person a little bit of assistance and then he must make salam to me 10 times a day. Allah. And he must send me a letter of thanks. And now he must extend special invitation to me for all his pro... Now if he's going to go about it like that, then it shows we haven't done it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And whatever is not done for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala will at the end of the day cause problems. We say, why is it that hadiya is supposed to be bonding the relationship? Hadiya, gift, is something that creates more muhabbat. And here the person is giving big, big hadiyas and is not creating any muhabbat. In fact, is distancing the person. So isn't there something wrong? The effect of that hadiya should have been that they should have been a bonding, there should have been a closeness. But why is that family member still going a distant away? Why? Because on Eid day, we decided that we're going to buy one box of this or that and give it to the family member. And then after that, wait for appreciation. Or we're going to give some other gift and wait for appreciation. So now because we did not do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, so it's not causing the person to receive that benefit which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us an understanding. Ameen. Because if we make amal on this, Allah Ta'ala is not going to benefit. Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not going to benefit. It is we who are going to be the beneficiary. We will see it with our own eyes. Give it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala to the family members. Make the khidmat for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and then see what we get in return. But because it's all motivated, we just don't have that ikhlas in our hearts. We are always looking at what we're going to get. If I give this person this, then what he is going to give me in return. So we must ask for return by Allah Ta'ala alone. La asalukum alayhi ajra in ajriya illa ala Allah Ta'ala. That was the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. That we don't ask you for any return. We will ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Wa ajr is with Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives life, health, and the opportunity to continue, we'll continue with this inshallah next Monday. But on Thursday, inshallah, we'll be having our zikr majlis. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zolamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين ہمارے صغيرا كبيرا عمدا خطأ ظاهري باطني هر گناہ کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے ہر گناہ کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہمیں صحت دے, عافیت دے, سلامتی دے, عزت دے. اے اللہ پوری امت مسلمہ کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. اے اللہ پوری امت مسلمہ کے حال پر رحم فرما. اے اللہ پوری امت مسلمہ پر تیری رحمت اور فضل کی بارش فرما. اے اللہ ان کی پریشانیوں کو, ان کے غم کو, ان کی تکالیف اور مصیبتوں کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے دور فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.